are so blessed that Pastor Jim and his wife Nancy, who was able to join him this year, are with us today. We've been blessed. We've known the Kilgores for decades, but we've really just rekindled and strengthened our friendship in about the last 5 or 6 years. And I'm so thankful for Pastor Jim and Nancy and what they've done, not only in their church in Houston, but what's happening now in other areas of ministry. I'll let him talk to you about that. But, you know, in Texas, they think they're in the South, but we know where the South really is. So why don't we give him a good, warm Richmond, Virginia welcome here this morning.
Thank you so much. You know, I love this church. This is only my second time here, but oh my goodness, every time I'm in this room, I just feel such a sweet presence of God. Listen, if you're visiting here today, I just challenge you, give this church 3 months of Sundays, and you're going to be surprised how God will change your life. Because I feel the Spirit of God just so vibrant here, so beautiful here. And I just love what I feel. I'm overwhelmed today with the blessings of God, of just meeting you, being in that first service, and now the worship service. It was amazing. And I love Buddy and Robin. Man, are they not just the best? They are awesome. And from the moment Nancy and I arrived, I'm going to introduce my wife here in just a second. They have treated us so kindly. They've showed us so much love. And I just appreciate it so much. Buddy, Robin, we love you so much. So thankful that you're in our lives. And you know what? I love to see how God grows us and how God uses us. And I'm just amazed to see everything that the Lord has done through Pastor Buddy and Pastor Robin's ministry here at Life Church. And I'm glad that I can be here to witness it today. Amen. Amen. We're blessed people, aren't we? Is anybody in the room blessed by God? Let me just see your hand if you're blessed by God. Oh, I'm so blessed. Amen. Now, last year I was here the first weekend of September, and my wife was coming with me. We had plane tickets for her to come. And you know what the airline did? They changed my flight time. And I looked down at my phone, and the flight that I was supposed to be on to come to Richmond, they had changed it from a 5-hour departure from when I looked at the clock to a 2-hour departure. I was actually on my way somewhere. I had to turn around, rush back. Nancy didn't have time to get ready. I was one of those guys running through the airport. You see those guys? That's how I got here last year. But I'm so glad Nancy could be with me this year. And I want her to come up. I'd like to introduce her to you, my sweetheart. Can you believe she doesn't look it? I know I look it, but we're going to be married 40 years next month. And I'm so thankful she's with me.
I'm so happy to be here. James told the first service a little bit about our family. Well, first, let me back up. I want to join James, too, and tell you how much we have enjoyed being here, Robin and Buddy. Oh, my. I'm just amazed at this group of beautiful, beautiful, beautiful people in both services. What an incredible job you have done. And I'm so thankful to be in your life. Thank you so much. So we have 3 children. And our oldest son, he's 36. Our son, his name is Bo. Well, his name is actually James, but we call him Bo. And then Benjamin is 32, and then our daughter is 25. And we have 7 grandchildren. 3 were just born this summer. And if you want to see pictures of them after church, I've got them. You can, the most beautiful little things you've ever seen. But when our oldest son was 7 to 18 years old, he became a little rebellious. Didn't really want a lot to do with church. Was running from the purpose that God called him to. He joined the Marine Corps when he was 19, and he was in Afghanistan in 2011. He was fighting in the Helmand province of Afghanistan. As a mother, I was, you can't imagine. Some of you may know what that's like. But I lived in fear of his life every day. And I got to the point, I don't know if any of you have ever been ruled by like a spirit of fear over a situation. It's not just a normal fear. There's a difference in the spirit of fear and then just, I mean, the spirit of fear will consume you and will wreck your health. It just controls your mind. You can't think of anything good. It's all bad. So I was in this dark place, and I remember going into my closet one day, and I said, God, I cannot live like this. I've got to know that you are with my son, that everything is going to be all right. Please give me peace. And can I tell you, God did. I don't remember the hour. I just recognized one day I didn't feel heavy. I could breathe. And God lifted that heaviness from me. And I want to just encourage someone here today that if you are dealing with a situation in your life that you don't know how to handle and you're overwhelmed with fear, fear is not from God. God does not want you to live with anxiety and fear. He came to give us life. He came to give us abundant life. So I just want to encourage you. Just open your heart. I was desperate. I was desperate for God to touch me. And I pray right now in Jesus' name, that if there's anyone here today, God, that is ruled by fear, that you would touch their heart, touch their mind. God, I pray that you would just consume them with your power, your love, and show them that you are greater. It's faith that moves mountains. You can do it. We sang about it, and it wasn't just a song, God. We believe it, that you can do the impossible. And God, I pray for every mother here, every parent that has a wayward child, that you would bring them home, that you would show mercy to them today. We trust in your great love. We trust in your word. In Jesus' name. I'm not sure who that was for, but God bless you. They asked me to sing. I do this. I'm a little old school sometimes, but I sing without music sometimes. So that's what I'm going to do this morning. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word, just to rest upon his promise, and just to know, thus saith the Lord. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I prove him more and more. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more. And I am so glad I learned to trust him. Precious Jesus, Savior, friend. And I know that you are forever with me. And you will be with me until the end. And we sing, Jesus, oh Jesus, how I trust him, how I prove him o'er and o'er. Oh Jesus. Jesus, precious Jesus. Oh, for grace to trust Him more and more and more every day in Jesus' name.
Thank you. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Yeah. Yeah, married 40 years, still my favorite singer by far. Wow. Wow, that was amazing. Thank you, Nancy. Thank you, Nancy. Thank you for allowing me to be here today, and love this church. And hey, I'm just going to give you what I feel like that the Lord has put on my heart. Is that all right if I just give you what the Lord has put on my heart? I want to talk to you about the way that we're created. There is something that God has put into each and every one of us that we cannot deny, and that is the desire that we have to make a difference. Yes. The desire that we have to leave something that lasts longer than we do. It's called compassion in action. And it's not something that comes to us because of ambition or selfishness. It's actually something that God put in our DNA. The wise man, and this isn't in my notes, but he said in Ecclesiastes 3 and 11, he has put eternity in the human heart. Yes. So there's something inside of us where we long to feel like that we're living for something that is bigger than ourselves. It's eternity that is talking inside of us. It's God's fingerprint on our soul that says we are created to make a difference. We are created to do something with the life that God has given us. And church, this is what I want to see today. I want to see you fulfill that desire to make a difference. I want to see you fulfill that desire to love deeply and to leave something that lasts longer than we do. And I'm thankful that I'm in a church where I feel the spirit of that. I feel the spirit of growth and momentum and progress. And I feel the spirit of outreach and touching people. And that's what it's all about. It's all about us moving with how God has called us to move. I have found in my 35 years of pastoring that there are a lot of people that just come on Sunday, worship, but they're longing for something more. And today I pray that that longing would be unleashed and God would use you to the full measure of what He has created for you to do. Amen. Amen. You see, we're not here just to build houses or to build bank accounts or to have a good career. I'm thankful for anybody who has those things, but we all know that that is going to end up rusting away or fading away or decaying away. My dad always said, you never see a hearse with the U-Haul behind it. We can't take it with us. And so we want to live our life as full as we can. We want to live a spiritual legacy, something eternal, something that will echo in heaven long after our names are forgotten on earth. Amen. Long after it's over, I want to leave a legacy. And that legacy may be simple as passing truth down to my children and seeing them live for God. That legacy may be as simple as giving my testimony about how God has been good to me. And I know that I'm sitting in an auditorium full of people that God has been good to. It's about just doing what God has called me to do. And here is the truth about this desire. When we see it in God's kingdom, it's not about people seeing us, it's about us seeing what needs to take place. It's not about us being on the stage, it's about us being in service. And I have to tell you that I'm so very thankful that it is the compassion of Jesus Christ that visits us and that walks by us and that talks to us and that helps us. And I think about the many years of my life that I have served God, the many years that I have wrestled with certain things. When I was younger, the situations that I found myself in. And can I tell you that when I was sitting down and in despair, I'm thankful that Jesus saw me there and stopped by and touched me and changed my life. Hallelujah, because that's what Jesus does. That's what Jesus does. He sees us even as we sit in this congregation today. He sees every situation. He knows every need. He hears every voice. He understands what you're going through. You see, He has a way of seeing the hurting. He has the way of seeing the person that seems to be on the margin. He has a way of seeing the person that has something to give but seems like it has no outlet to give. The whole crowd is traveling with Jesus, and all they see are the steps that they're taking, and they're jostling to get in front of Him and to touch Him. And there's a man in the crowd that says, I can't see Him. I'll just climb a tree. And of everybody that's there, that's who Jesus sees. Zacchaeus, I know that people hate you and you're a tax collector. I'm not going to get into that. I know that people hate you and despise you, but come down, because today I have to go to your house. It's Jesus sitting in the temple, and the disciples are looking at the big amount of money that the different people are pouring into the basket, and they're amazed at the offering that is given. And Jesus is not moved by that, but He said, did you see the poor widow that came up with just two little coins? I see it. It's Jesus looking at a hungry crowd. And while other people are saying it's a problem, we can't feed them, and I'm going to get into that a little bit more later, it's Jesus that says, but I'm moved with compassion because they are sheep without a shepherd. Church, the difference maker is not ambition and strategy and planning. I'm thankful for that. But the difference maker when it comes to the kingdom of God is having a tender heart towards the things that moves God. True greatness is found not in, it's found in compassion in action. Compassion in action may look small to the world, but in God's hand, it changes lives. It's the small thing that rewrites the story. It's the small things that leave a legacy behind. And I was coming in this morning and I was in the kitchen, and I'm sorry I don't remember or I didn't get the name of the lady that I was talking to, but she says, you know, when I was first in the church, I went to a meeting and your dad preached, and your dad preached about your granddad, and I thought about that. I thought about the legacy that my granddad left. My great-great-granddad left a legacy of murder. He was a murderer. He ended up spending the rest of his life in prison after he shot an unarmed man to death. But my granddad changed that legacy. My granddad said, no, this is not the way that my family is going to go. And today, there's, I think, 67 descendants of my grandfather that are preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ and working in churches. It's about leaving a legacy. Listen, I don't know who's in this room, but God knows, and God has already seen you through you to the next generation. So don't despair. Don't give up. Believe God. Nancy was talking about our son, Bo. He was far from God when he was in the Marines and off in Afghanistan and lived a life that was, of course, away from God. But I'll never forget one Saturday morning after he had spent Friday night partying and drinking and doing all of the things that he was doing. And he called me on that Saturday morning and said, Dad, I've got to tell you something. And I was bracing myself because I'd had a lot of those conversations with him. And normally it wasn't very good news. But on that particular morning, he said, Dad, I've got to tell you something. I said, What is it, son? He said, today I am on fire for God. And I said, what are you talking about? He said, I woke up this morning. I came in last night drunk, stoned. I fell on my bed fully dressed. He said, when I woke up this morning, I was so sick of my life that I called out, Jesus, help me. And he said, the minute I called, the Spirit of the Lord descended in that room. He said, I ended up speaking in tongues and worshiping God. And Dad, I'm just telling you that I am on fire for God. Hallelujah. Now, the end of the story hasn't been written, but I'll give you an update. Today, that son is the lead pastor of the church that I pastored at home for 35 years. He's preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ because of the move of the Spirit in his life. God stopping by. God touching him. God saying, I'm going to touch you. God not looking down and saying, oh no, you've run from me. I'm just going to ignore your cry. God hearing his cry and says, I'll go and touch the one. And I'm so thankful that he did. I'm thankful that he did because my son has told me that he was in that state where taking his own life had been going over and over in his mind. He is so depressed and so far from God. But that's what God does. You see, this is what happens. Compassion doesn't only notice things. It's easy to notice things that are in need. It's easy to see people that are down. But real compassion acts upon what you see. It moves towards the thing that is in need. And I mentioned the story about Jesus and the crowd. And in Mark chapter 8 and verse 1, the scripture says that and about the same time, he again found himself with a hungry crowd on his hands. He had fed the multitude before, but here we are all over again. And he calls the disciples together and he said to them, and I'm reading from the message, he said, this crowd is breaking my heart. They have stuck with me for 3 days and now they have nothing to eat. And he said, if I send them home hungry, they'll faint along the way. And some of them have come a long distance. You see, for Jesus, it wasn't just something that he did in a moment, that he felt compassion in a moment. Compassion was what fueled the ministry of Jesus Christ. I can feel it in this church. I can feel the love of Jesus in this church. And I'm going to tell you right now, there is no fuel that burns hotter than the gospel of Jesus Christ and the love for people. That's what will propel a church into great revival. And Jesus, this was his mission. This was his mission to help those that were hurting. It was his mission. That's why when all of the crowd was telling blind Bartimaeus to be quiet, Jesus was saying, what is he saying? Bring him to me. That's why Jesus could feel the touch of the woman that touched the hem of his garment. And when people were jostling all around him and the disciples were unaware of what was happening, he said, no, somebody touched me. It's why Jesus could say, let the little children come unto me, when everybody else was saying, whoa, this is too busy, it's too much time for the master, because he was full of compassion. Can I just ask you in this room this morning, is there anybody here that you have felt that love of the Lord just invade your space from time to time? Have you felt that grace of God when it's come in, when you were down and out, when you didn't know what you were going to do, and all of a sudden the Lord shows up and touches you? I know that I have a testimony that he has been good to me, and when I didn't deserve it, that's when he showed up. Hallelujah. That's when he showed up. That's when he showed love. That's when he showed compassion. That's who Jesus is. That's who he is. He is that one that loves us and sticks closer than a brother and will never leave us and never forsake us. He's the one that has that love for us, so much love that he would give his life on Calvary so that we could be reconciled with God. That's how much he loves us. And you know what? That's what he wants his church to look like. That's what he wants his church to be. He wants his church to be like him. And that, isn't that what the church should be? Wouldn't that be the greatest testimony that this church could ever have? If people, when they drove down that road, looked at this church and pointed and said, those people are like Jesus Christ. Wouldn't that be the greatest testimony that we could have, that we had that reputation that, oh, that is a church that's like Jesus. And Paul sees it, and he talks to the church in Colossae, and he tells them in Colossians 3 and 12, since God chose you to be his holy people that he loves, I'm thankful that he did. Paul says, you must clothe yourself with tenderheartedness, tenderhearted mercy, with kindness, humility, gentleness, patience. Notice that he says there, hey, if you feel like it, put this on. No. He said, I've got a little suggestion that maybe this would work for you. It'd be a good church growth deal if you put, no. Paul says, you must clothe yourself. You must be this way, because it really is our identity as Christians, is that we are followers of Jesus Christ. It's us bearing his character. It's us letting the fruit of the Spirit, which is Jesus Christ, blossom in our life. It is us being like him. Jesus, when he came, he clothed himself in compassion and humility, and he served with gentleness. And then he said, go and do the same thing. And so here we are today. We are a church that must move with compassion, with kindness, with humility, with gentleness. Those are not things that we add on. Those are not optional features. Those are actually the visible proof that Christ has transformed us. We're not going to be known as his disciples because we shout or because we sing or because we have this or because we have that. We're going to be known as his disciples because we have love one to another. That's what happens when we put on Jesus Christ. And Paul is saying here, clothe yourself with these things, because I want it to be clear to everyone who you belong to. You belong to Jesus. And so compassion and action just means noticing. It means caring. It means stepping in where others pass by. I have to tell you that the last two service, the first service and this service, I've loved the part where Chuck got up and just talked about the different outreach parts. I've loved that, because that is the heartbeat of Jesus Christ. I've loved that there was someone that said, well, I have a trailer. I love that there was someone that said, I can sort clothes. I love that someone said, well, I can take lemonade. I love that, because that's what it's all about. It's about making sure that we have compassion, but not only have compassion, we have compassion in action. And not only are we noticing, but we're also moving and stepping in where others may pass by. The story of compassion is that compassion always is willing to offer what it has. Ambition will say, I'll offer something when I get it. Ambition says, let me gather stuff together and then I'll be able to give. And here is the deadly thing about ambition saying that is, ambition never gets enough to satisfy itself where it will share with others. Compassion always says, I'll give what I have to make a difference. The story that I mentioned about Jesus feeding the multitude is an important story. And I believe it's important because we see it in all four of the Gospels. One of the very few stories that all four of the Gospels shared. Jesus had been teaching and healing and walking, and all day long these people had followed him. They've listened to what he had to say, and he's there in the area close to the Sea of Galilee, and there's about 5,000 men, the Bible says, so that means that there was women and children for sure with them, and it could have been anywhere from 8,000 to 20,000 people. We don't know, but there was a big crowd of people, and evening is coming, and the people are hungry, and The disciples saw a problem they couldn't solve because the disciples didn't have the money. They actually told Jesus, send the crowds away so they can go to the surrounding villages and buy food. But Jesus turned the problem right back on them, and that's what he does for us today. When there's a problem, Jesus doesn't dismiss it. He says, take responsibility and do what you can to meet the need. And that's what he said. He said, you give them something to eat. And you know what? They were stunned because feeding the massive crowd would take more than a half year's wages, and they had nothing. But Andrew went out and started searching. He finally comes back to Jesus and he said, there's a young boy here with 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but Lord, what good is that to do in this huge crowd? Now, I love the fact that there was a little boy in that crowd, and I love the fact that he must have heard of the invitation, and I love the fact that he stepped up and said, look, I don't have much, but I'll give what I have. And just kind of going out of the scripture here, don't hate me for it, but I just have to tell you that if there's 8,000 people there, I'm pretty sure somebody else had a stash of food tucked away somewhere. If I were to call right now for all that have a little snack to lay it on the altar, this altar would be full of Snicker bars and crackers and fruit roll-ups. You can't tell me that in that crowd there wasn't somebody else that was saying, well, I got something, but I'm not sharing it. But the little boy said, well, I'll give what I have. I don't have much, but I'll give what I have. And what I have is barley loaves. It's the bread of the poor. And what I have is 2 fish, and he's not talking about big trout. He's talking about sardine-sized fish there. He doesn't have much, and to the disciples, it didn't look like much. Andrew said, what good is this in this huge crowd? But here is the beauty of it. While the disciples saw the problem, Jesus saw the miracle. Jesus didn't say that it was too little. He said, it's more than enough to do what I want to do. Jesus saw the miracle waiting to happen. And he took the bread and the fish, and he gave thanks, and he began to break it and pass it to the disciples. The disciples were putting it in baskets. They were passing it out. And before it was all over, everyone ate as much as they wanted and even gathered baskets of leftovers more than they started with. God uses the small and the overlooked. He uses the lunch to become the key to one of the greatest miracles that we read about in the scripture. What a return this little boy has on his lunch. I mean, he's still preached about today. Thousands and thousands of sermons have been preached about this little boy. We don't know his name. I pray that when we get to heaven, we find out who it is so we can all go by and say, thank you for the giving and what a testimony you left. Just give what you have. God often begins with what seems insignificant to us. God often begins with what seems insignificant. I go back to my grandfather. He's received the gift of the Spirit. He's a lumberjack, and his particular specialty was operating the cranes on the side of the mountain. When they'd cut the trees down, they'd roll the trees down. He'd pick the logs up and put them in the train so that they could go to the mill. And while he's doing it, God gives him a vision. And the vision is, instead of that crane picking up a tree, it's his hand reaching into the pits of hell and pulling people out of it. And he came home and told my grandmother, I don't know what's happening. They were poor. This was a good job in those days. And actually, the people that he worked for, they really liked my grandfather and wanted him to continue working there. But he said, we're going on the road and we're going to start preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's that small thing. It's that small thing that begins with a man that didn't have more than an eighth grade education because his father made him drop out of school and help on the farm. It's just those small things that by the time his ministry was over, he had started 26 churches. He had built 16 of them with his bare hands. And he baptized over 10,000 people. It's just those small things that God starts with. It seems insignificant, but it makes an echo in the heavens. You see, faith is not sitting back and saying, man, when I get it, boy, I'm going to bless people. When I hit that Powerball, oh my goodness, the church is... No, faith is saying, I'm going to go ahead and give what I have. I'm going to give the gifts that God has given me. I'm going to return them. And the boy didn't hold back his lunch. He gave it. I want you to listen to this statement. Jesus will never ask you for what you don't have. But he's always asking for what you do have. He asks us to bring what we have, no matter how small it is. And that's what compassion in action is. It brings what it has. It's just five little barley loaves and two little fish, but I'm bringing it. I know it looks insignificant when I look at this crowd, but I'm bringing it. It's yours, Lord. If you want it, that's what I want to give. And you know what? Sometimes we have things that seem insignificant, but they're great in the sight of God. Our prayers may feel like that they're insignificant, but in the hands of Jesus Christ, it can move a mountain. Our words may feel small, but in the hands of Jesus, they can touch a soul and lift it from despair. Our gift may seem like it's not very much, but in the hands of Jesus, it can feed thousands. Thank you, Jesus. I've told it before, but I'm going to tell it again, because it is my five barley loaf and two fish story. I tell it not out of pride, but I tell it that I just brought what I had, and I've been amazed at what God has done with it. I'm sitting in the back of a taxi. I'm looking at these homeless children that are living on the streets of Manila, and in one moment, God rearranges my life. Best thing that has ever happened to me is God rearranging my life on that day, because I looked into the eyes of a little girl that was begging for food and standing in the rain, cold, her lips trembling, and I said, Lord, whatever you want me to do. And he spoke to me and said, if you'll build a home, I'll save them. I'll break the chains of bondage that are on them. And I'll make them productive citizens of the Philippines. So, in 2013, here I am without a clue how to do anything about an orphanage. I don't think, and I can't ever remember even visiting an orphanage. Now I'm going to start one. Called my wife, I'm going to do this. She's with me. She's been with me ever since. We're in it together. And I remember going and talking to different government officials, how do I do this? How do I do that? Finding my way through. This is how you start this. This is how you get a permit for this. This is how you build. This is how big you need to build. This is how many employees you need to have compared to children. And man, I muddled my way through. But here it is, God, my five loaves and my two fishes. Can you take this, Lord, and use it? Step after step, God walks me through the process. And in 2013, we're on our way to Ima's home. And when we left the States, and I'll tell more of that story in just a moment, we didn't have any children, but by the time we got there, we have 17 children. And today I can tell you that there is 153 children rescued, restored, and given hope. One of the things that we do different than any other orphanage that we know of in the Philippines is we are a family. We take the kids, and when they turn 18, we put them in college. We stay with them. As a matter of fact, Chuck, where's Chuck? Chuck was telling me between services that he has a ministry. He's gone to the Philippines several times, and he knows an educator there that is her and her husband pastor a church that Chuck is associated with. And when Chuck mentioned that he was going to Ima's home maybe next summer, she said, oh, we've heard of Ima's home. They have an excellent reputation. Isn't that amazing? Thank you, Jesus. 2 weeks ago, baby David. I want to see that picture, baby David. He's left on a doorstep of a church. His mother gave birth. It looks like she performed the birth and cut the umbilical cord herself, wrapped the baby up. No, nothing on the mother. God bless her. I don't know what distress she's in, what she was going through, but she felt that was the best. By the time they found David, he was blue. He'd lost a lot of blood. Rushed him to the hospital. 2 days later, he came to live at Ima's home, and he has a place to live now. His story doesn't end on the steps of a church. It'll end completely being rewritten. Just 2 weeks ago, or last week, we got ten new children. I want you to see them. They're siblings, because I found out that siblings many times were taken apart when they were rescued, and they would go to different facilities, may not see each other. So we got these siblings. We got three siblings, Lewis, Mark, and Aisha, and Cedric, and Diane, and Derek, and then these two in the middle, Justin and Robin. They're older. Actually, they're older than what we normally take. But Justin talked to us. He said, I want to go to school. I want to learn. Can I please come to Ima's home? We also had two little girls, two little sisters. I don't know their story yet, but the next picture shows them, little Jonna Lee and Lynn Lynn. And now they have a place to go. It's just five loaves and two fish. But compassion in action isn't about what we don't have. It's about what we do have. And it's about trusting God to multiply it, because this is what God does. He takes it and he changes the story. Yes, yes. I just got to do what I've got to do. I just want you to do what you want to, what you've got to do. Because nobody else can do what God's called you to do. So do it with all of your heart. I've made up my mind. I don't know where God's taken me, because for years I said 300 children. But Pastor Buddy, I have to tell you that what's been echoing in my head is 1,000 children. And the echo behind that is 10,000 children. And I don't have a clue how that would even happen. I don't know, but I didn't know how this would happen. I just said, here is my five loaves and my two fish, and God, you do the rest. And God, you help me. And you know what? God's added to me. I was in the Philippines, and I'm in a service, and I watched Pastor Buddy start moving around. Anybody ever seen Pastor Buddy move around? He walks with purpose. And man, what's happening? Because I'm there. I'm trying to make sure everything is right. And I see Pastor Buddy go to the director that we have there and talk to her. And then Buddy comes over to me and says, listen, God's spoken to me, and our church wants to partner with you. And from that day to this, this church has been our greatest partner in our mission to reach them. Thank you, Life Church. Thank you so much. I can't tell you what it means to me. And Buddy and Robin, I can't tell you how much I love you. I pray blessings on you. And Lord, I just had my five loaves and my two fish, and then the Lord brings somebody else on this side, and here comes Buddy, and here comes Robin, and here comes the other people. And before you know it, we're going to make such a difference in the life of these children, because that's compassion in action. Ephesians 2:10 says, for we are God's masterpiece. The Greek word is poema, which we get poetry or poem from. It's actually Paul saying to the people in Ephesus. Does anybody know what the people in Ephesus were? They were church people. Yeah. Is there any church people in the room today? Can I just tell you that this scripture applies to you? That you are God's artistic expression of how His love is going to be spread in this world. And He says in that scripture that we are created anew in Christ Jesus so that we can do the good things that He planned for us long ago. God already planned work for you. I had no clue that God was going to call me to start an orphanage. But that's what He did. Listen, I don't want to feel tense that I'm going too long. Am I okay? Can I have about another 5 or 10 minutes from you? Hey, I got 20% of the vote that said I could have another 10 minutes. The rest of you are just going to have to sit here because the 10% were vocal. You could have said no, and I would have shut it down. But it's too late now. Compassion doesn't just meet a need. It rewrites stories, and it leaves a legacy. I just want to close with a story. Nancy and I left the United States, and my son Benjamin, who's 32 now, had just graduated from high school, and so we were giving him a senior treat, and it was kind of one of those cheap deals where I could stay over in Tokyo for 2 or 3 days, and it didn't affect my airfare for all of us, and so we stopped in Tokyo. We had a couple of good days, and every day I was communicating with Sheenie. She was the director, still is, and she's actually going to be here at Life Church in just a few weeks. I'm anxious for you to meet her. And she emailed me one night. I was going to sleep. The next morning we were leaving to go to Ima's, and she emailed me this picture of these two little girls that were the first ones that were become a part of our home there, of Ima's home. And their names were Mary Joy and Mary Grace. And I laid in that bed and I was reading the email. Nancy was already asleep, and I mean, I started weeping and sobbing, and I saw that the name of them was Joy and Grace. And I felt like, and the picture was of them walking in the door from back. I didn't see their faces. They were walking from the back, and I thought, the first two kids that walk into Ima's home is Joy and Grace. God, let that be a witness and a testimony that our place will always be full of joy and grace. And I know that so many of you, or several of you, have already been to Ima's at least once, and you can testify that that's what it is. And so I have a picture of me with the girls when they were little. Mary Joy, Mary Grace, precious little twin girls. Their story is quite horrific. Their mother was a drug addict. And the dad was gone. She wanted to go do her party and had no one to keep the children. So she would put them in chairs back to back. And she would tie wrap rope all around them so that they wouldn't run off or wouldn't get hurt. And if she was gone 2 or 3 days, that's where the girls had to stay. When I saw them, their little bodies were just covered with scars. They still have them. They're not as noticeable now. They came and lived at Ima's home for many years. About, I guess, 7 years ago or 8 years ago, we were able to connect with an aunt, their father's sister. She didn't even know where they were. She had no story. She didn't know the abuse they went through. And she came and got them. And I think she's a good woman, but at the beginning of this year, they messaged me out of the blue, and Papa Jim, please help us. This woman, this aunt, had older children, and the older children have again started abusing these two beautiful little girls. And so we went and got them. I met them and saw them again for the first time just a few months ago, and they fell on my arms and cried, and I cried, and I was so glad to see them again. And they're 18 years old. They're graduating from high school this year. And Mary Grace, who is on my left, is wanting to be a chef, and Mary Joy, who is on my right, wants to be a nurse, and their story has been rewritten. God's changed their life. And this is what compassion and action says. It says, you're not forgotten. And you matter. And you are chosen. That's what compassion does. It notices, it offers, and it rewrites the story. And that's what God wants to do today. Who in the room has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish? Mother Teresa said it like this. I'm rushing to an end, slowly rushing to an end. At the end of life, we will not be judged by how many diplomas we received, how much money we made, or how many great things we did. We will be judged by, I was hungry and you gave me food. I was naked and you clothed me. I was homeless and you took me in. True greatness isn't spotlight, but service. Not applause, but compassion. Not titles, but towels. It notices, it acts, it offers what it has. And what it has ends up rewriting the legacy of the people that it touches. Will you stand with me? I'm going to give you a moment here to get settled from standing. I know how that is after pastoring 35 years. There is a brief time there where you have lost all attention to what I'm saying. So, are we back now? Can I just end this sermon by asking you a question? What do you have in your hands? What has God put in your heart? What have you seen out of the corner of your eye that you think, man, I need to change that? What group of people has called you to feel compassion? What need has talked to you? I notice all of the different things you're doing. Needs, feeding, clothing, bathing. It's the hands of Jesus Christ. But Pastor Buddy, for every ministry that there is, there's 10 more that God wants us to walk into. There's 10 more areas. So what is in your hand? I want to close. And I hope I'm not out of place doing this. I'm a visiting minister, but I feel this, and your pastor has given me liberty. I want everybody in the room that is willing to give your 5 loaves and 2 fishes, you're willing to give whatever God asks of you. Not what God is going to ask of you that you don't have, but what you have right now. Activate right now. If you're that person, I want you to come. Bring your 5 loaves and your 2 fishes. And I want you to come as close to the front as you can. And I want to pray with you before I turn this back to your pastor. Come on. Come on. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Dave. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. You'll never know what one small act of surrender will lead to. You'll never know what one small saying, this is what I'll give, will lead to. If you're in the altar area, if you'll just step forward a little bit, I see people in this aisle over here still wanting to get in over here on this aisle. I want everybody to be able to come around that wants to. Lord, you see every person that's in this room, God. You see everything that is in them. You created them. You called them forth, Lord, and you have prepared good works for them to do in the future. As a matter of fact, Lord, you prepared those good things, those good works, long before we were even here. You knew, oh God who knows the end from the beginning, you created us for this. And I just pray right now, dear Lord, that every person here that has their 5 loaves, their 2 fishes, that they would be activated in your hand today. Because this is what we know, Lord, that is when we put those things in your hands, you multiply them, you bring them forth, you let them blossom, you let them grow, they become something that is amazing. And so that's what we pray today, oh Lord. I pray, dear Lord, that in this church there would be ministry started that not only would support this church, but would change and revolutionize this whole area, oh God. Maybe, oh Lord, you're putting it in somebody's heart to start a ministry to help those that are addicted or those that are abused or those that are hungry. Whatever it is, oh God, it's going to involve us serving. And so, Lord, just give us the heart of a servant today. Lead us and guide us. And take the gifts that are presented here today and multiply them 1,000-fold, oh God, I pray it. In Jesus' name. Will you just lift your hands and let's love the Lord together. Pastor, thank you so much. Thank you, Jesus. Love you, Life Church.
That's it. That's it. Just take this moment right now. I know the Lord is speaking. Yes, yes. Yes, God, I give you what I have. I give you what I have. What I have, I give you what I have. Use me for your glory. Use me for your glory. Yes.
You're not done with me yet.
You're not done with me
yet.
Oh, yes. Yes.
You're not done with me yet.
That's it. Let him touch you right now.
There's so much more to the story.
Oh, there's seeds of greatness in you.
You're not done with me
yet.
You're not done with me yet.
Just take this moment, just a moment. Lift those hands. Come on. Let God speak into your heart. Drown out the fear. Drown out the excuses. Drown out everything that's told you no. And listen for God's yes. Yes, Lord. I trust you. I trust you. I believe you. With you, all things are possible. Lord, I give you open hands, an open heart. Use me for your glory, God. Use me for your glory. Use me for your glory. Use me for your glory. Like this, where destiny is born, where seeds of greatness begin to grow. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Now let's just receive it. Receive it. Whatever God's put in your spirit, just receive it right now. Thank you, Father. Lord, I don't know how it's going to come to pass, but I trust you, and I believe you, God, and I'm going to say yes. Here's what I have, God. I give it to you. Here's what I have. I give it to you. I give it to you. I give it to you. Can we clap our hands to the Lord? Just give him a little praise, a little love. Amen. Come on. Thank you, Jesus. Blessed be the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. I feel like we're supposed to do this. Oh, I'm so glad you're standing together. You don't even have to move. Pastor James and Nancy, raise your hands so everybody sees where you are. Jim, I felt a witness when you were talking about 300 and 1,000 and 10,000. Come on, I felt a witness. And here's what we're going to do as we close this service. I don't know if anybody's done this yet or not. I want you to extend your hands forward wherever you are in this building. Raise your hands again so they can see where you are. And we're going to pray. You know what we're going to pray? We're going to pray that before Pastor Jim's work is done, that we see 10,000 children impacted in the Philippines. Now, guess what that means? It's probably going to mean more than one IMUS campus. It's going to probably be more than the handful of churches that are helping right now. You know what we're going to pray when we extend our hands for? We're believing that God's going to send resources. God's going to send people. God's going to give miraculous provision. God's going to give Pastor Jim and others around him vision to see it come to pass. Amen. Hallelujah. Because just as big as the leap was from zero to 150, God's going to do a quick work. Extend your hands, Lord. Let's pray right now. IMUS Home is what we're praying for. And Pastor Jim, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, I pray for Pastor Jim and Nancy right now, God. Lord, you put a vision in his heart. It's a God vision. It's from you. And Lord, we believe it's going to come to pass. And right now, God, I pray that you would open up the windows of heaven and you would pour out a blessing, God. I pray for financial resources. I pray for doors to be opened. God, I pray that you would give them property and campuses in the Philippines, God. Give it to them so they can put children and social workers and staff in place, God. God, the harvest is great, but the laborers are few. God, I want you to empower them. I want you to empower the vision. I want you to bring it to life, God. And I pray, Lord, that partners would come. I pray that resources would come, that people would come. God, we already know the children are there. Lord, let it come to pass in the mighty name of Jesus. And if you believe it's going to happen, I want you to give God a praise of thanksgiving. Come on. Hallelujah. Let it happen in the name of Jesus. 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 Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Hey, thanks for watching. Be sure to subscribe to this channel so you never miss one of our videos or live streams in the future. Also, take a moment and share this with a friend. Be sure to join us 9 a.m. or 11 a.m. each week live as we celebrate Jesus together here at Life Church. God bless you.